No, you're gonna be fine. We just gotta get you to a hospital, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Come on. I need a second, okay?
Okay.
I didn't run away this time, right?
No. You didn't run.
You're gonna have to look after those little sheep for me, okay?
No, you're gonna do that yourself!
Nah, man. Say I'm gonna look after them. Say it.
I'm gonna look after
them. Oh, God. This is a match that could graduate. I think it's my year, Anderson. I love you, man.
I love you too. Eddie.
Hey everybody, this is Tony with the Stranger Things podcast. So I'm finally back in the saddle doing the final episode for season 4. I've been a little bit under the weather for about a week and a half. It's just this whole regional seasonal allergy thing, and just lost my voice for a couple days, and it's just been a nightmare. But I am back to finish off what I have started in the final volume of season 4. So we're going to jump right into the episode. This last little bit of this episode, it has just been such a joy. There's just been so many thrills, so many frightening things that have happened within this particular part of the episode, but just in the season in general this year. It's just been so much fun to really explore everything that has been going on. And just to jump right into this part of the episode, so the clocks are going off, and the others realize that Max is now dead. And just the realization of not knowing if she's truly, truly dead, but they know that once that clock, that final clock has gone off, that this means nothing good whatsoever. And just the realizations on everyone's faces, pretty much in all the locations that they are currently in, is just so telling on how much they really care for one another. And, you know, it was just so gut-wrenching to to see their facial expressions, to see this real emotion coming forth without really having to say much of anything. And this really felt like a moment to me. This really felt like a moment like, wait a minute, this could actually happen. We could actually have one of our major players in the on the show die. And just the heaviness of that moment and the way it was played out was just so it was just so well done. And then there is the splitting of the ground and the gates just starting to open up all over the place. This has really elevated the show to a place where we haven't yet seen it be elevated, and it really expanded the stakes in what we're seeing with our characters, with their hometown, and really all over the world. And now we've got this inclusion of Yuri and Dimitri, and they're now seeing that this is a bit bigger than what they thought it was. And like I said, this changes everything, and just this cliffhanger at the end of this episode is just so good, but it's so satisfying at the same time. And we almost get this bit of cinematic music, and just the scale in this season has been so great, but we get this really cinematic moment towards the end where everybody is walking up. It's almost like I kind of compare it to the Lord of the Rings, and they're getting ready to head to the towers, and they have the ring, or they're looking for the ring, and it's just this grandiose building of tension and just great character development, which I loved so much. And then there's this little small side thing, which I was kind of happy to see, but Jason is just getting split in half. And if you're not really paying attention to this, it'll just go right past you, but he gets like literally severed in half as the gate starts to open. And he's just a big part of all of this. And, you know, his death was just unfortunately, you know, or fortunately for the character, because, you know, these are fictional characters, but he, you know, his up, you know, comeuppance is, you know, is greatly, greatly deserved in that very moment. But it was just such a, I love the way they pay attention, the Duffer Brothers and the producers and everyone pays a lot of attention to the detail within this show, and that was just such a significant thing, but it was done in such an insignificant way that if you just blinked for a second or two, you completely missed that whole aspect. But it was so large, and people are like, wow, that was just something that we just didn't see coming, at least in that very moment. But like I said, he was such a significant character and a driving force and such a great, true human villain. And this was just one of the moments in the show that I thought, okay, they are firing on all cylinders at this point in the show. And then to jump ahead a little bit, 11 goes into the void to awaken Max. And we know that she has these new powers that we're starting to see, and it seems like she's getting a bit stronger. And as I talked about in one of the previous episodes, it was a little bit of an aside, but I think that she is really, really going to Kali is going to come back at some point, and I think they're going to need as much help as they possibly can, because like I said, the Duffer Brothers just don't throw someone into a storyline, especially as significant as she was, and I think she's going to need some help, some you know, even more so of the support that she has, but she's going to need some more moral support, you know, going through this final battle to end all of the battles, and whether or not that comes in the way of a sacrifice of Kali or even Eleven, I don't know, but there's just so many great things going on here. And then the Scooby Gang finally arriving in Hawkins after this quest, this journey. And this is just one of the things I love about it. It was just that moment, like, yes, everyone is back together again, minus Lucas, but he's in the hospital with Max. And that's a whole nother topic that I'll cover here in a moment. But just seeing everyone and just their happy embraces, and it's like, yes, this core group is back together again, and we're getting a lot of this really wonderful camaraderie between the entire gang, even Karen the mom, and she's really getting into all of this. And they don't know all of exactly what's going on, but I think a lot of people are starting to get a sense that something is different, something has changed, and it's just really, really great to see all of that being played out on the screen. And then the aftermath of the gate starting to open up, or the 7.4 earthquake is being seen by the gang. And it, like I said, is this everything has just been really taken up to a different notch. I mean, the stakes are high. And when I say the 7.4 earthquake, you know, that's definitely in air quotes, because we all know exactly what's going on, but most of the town doesn't. But they're trying to figure out and wonder why all of these things keep happening. What's going on? And I think we're finally going to get some answers to a lot of that. At least the townspeople are. They're going to get a lot of answers to a lot of what's going on in this next season, because this is going to open it up. Widely open everything up. But that is just one of the best scenes, you know, starting to see a lot of this ash start to slowly fall, and the world, the upside down, is being introduced to the new world, and things are really starting to come to the forefront. And I'm just loving everything that they're doing with these characters in this storyline. I'm going to take a brief break here, and I will be right back.
Thank you. you're not going. No.
Less than 48 hours since a 7.4 magnitude earthquake rocked the quaint town of Hawkins, 80 miles outside of Indianapolis, in an event that seismologists are calling a natural disaster of near unprecedented scale. The death toll now stands at 22, but with hundreds more filling Roane County hospitals and many more still missing, officials expect those numbers to rise. This is only the latest tragedy to befall this once safe town. Most recently, a string of high school students were killed in a series of ritualistic murders which have been linked to a local satanic cult known as Hellfire. Eddie Munson, the leader of this cult and prime suspect in the murders, has been missing since the earthquake and is presumed dead. But this offers little comfort to the people of Hawkins, who are scared, angry, and searching for answers. Why their town? What have they done to deserve so much suffering? A growing chorus believes the two recent tragedies are linked, claiming the Munson murders opened a doorway between worlds. A doorway, they say, into hell itself.
Are you hearing this? They're now calling it a doorway into hell.
Great. More hysteria. Just what we need.
Well, it's the news. Now indistinguishable from the tabloids.
Hey, Nance. I found some more of your old stuff in the attic.
Mr. Rabbit.
It's okay if you want to save him, you know.
No, he'll be more loved in a new home.
Someone order a pizza?
Pizza?
No, he's... Oh, God.
You don't know. He opened his eyes, and further words died in his throat. He forgot about the need to sick up that horrible parody of wine. He forgot about his mother and Uncle Morgan and his father and almost everything else. Speedy was gone. The graceful arcs of the roller coaster against the sky were gone. He could feel the hair stirring on the nape of his neck. Could feel a goofed up grin pulling at the corners of his mouth. Speedy, I'm here, my God. I'm here in the territories. Oh my God. We've been calling you guys like crazy.
I know. We came as soon as we heard. They know. Weren't you awake?
No. They say she might not. Her heart stopped for over a minute. She died. I mean, clinically.
All right, I'm back. So, you know, just to jump and to piggyback, pun intended, on what I was talking about before, which is the gang all meeting again. You know, Mike's back home with the gang and everyone meeting again. This is one of my favorite moments, and just the way they're talking to each other and everything is just beginning to come full circle once again. And it's just so great to see all of this, because it feels like we're getting back to what the show was, which I love all these big, huge storylines and things that they've been doing with the series throughout the season so far. But it's just really good just to get back down to that simple storyline of just these, you know, this group of people, these kids, these adults, and dealing with what they're dealing with separately. And just getting back to that, and like, we have to defeat the monster. And this is such a simple story, but it's so well done, and it's so nuanced and complex. And Injective here, it's just one of these shows that is just, once it's gone, it's gonna be sorely missed. But I think we can really jump into some really wonderful things moving forward. Now, there's the moment where Lucas is in the, where he's in the hospital, and it's just, just him sitting there reading to Max. He's of course gone through this, you know, semi beat down by a Jason, and his eye is swollen. He's basically you know, really gone through a battle, and he's sitting there reading to her, and he's looking at her hoping he sees some kind of response as he's reading. He looks up, just these little subtle things. He is such a great actor that Caleb is doing within this episode, or Lucas, and he just conveys so much just through these little small short glances here and there, and just the heaviness that's on his heart. And these characters are really going through a lot at this point, especially at such a young age, you know, having to save the world, having to deal with just their regular everyday teenage things as well. On top of that, this can't be easy. Definitely not easy from a narrative storytelling standpoint. And they are just dealing with a lot of this, you know, constant, you know, issues, problems, you know, insert, you know, whatever issue they're having. And on top of that, they're dealing with these major things like actually saving the world, which is what they're doing. You know, Dustin as well, he's going through, and he's going to go through his separate trauma and things that he's going to be going through, losing Eddie. But it was really good to see all of them in the hospital as they have met again, and Eleven is looking, and she doesn't know exactly what she wants to do. But like I said, I've always compared this season is really The Empire Strikes Back, and Vecna is definitely Vader in every sense of the word, because they have that, because Vecna and everything in the Upside Down has struck back, and it struck back really hard. And Eleven, Evie, you can see her later on when she's back in Hopper's cabin and they're trying to clean up. She doesn't know exactly what to do with all that. She doesn't know how to unpack that. And for her, that is a really, really hard pill to swallow. And she just doesn't know what to do at this point. And I just love the music that was playing as Steve, Rob, and Dustin were going into the Hawkins High School to volunteer. It was just one of the greatest things that I possibly have seen. And just this music, it just really had this, it really sounded a lot like an after-school special, you know, you'd hear in the in the 80s. You know, they really captured that feel, and that's something that they've consistently and constantly done throughout the entire series, is just capture those feelings, bottle it, and I just don't know how they were able to continue to do all of this on in such a influential way, and just to make you have all of these feelings. And this is exactly what this moment did. And it was just such a small moment, but it was something that had such a great impact on everything that we were feeling in this moment as they go in to volunteer. And Dustin, Robin rather, and her peanut butter girlfriend, the whole back and forth between them two, and how you can tell that they're so much alike, and they just really, really are hitting it off, because they are very similar in so many different ways, just over peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I just loved this whole scene, and how everything once again is just coming full circle. And then Steve just admiring Robin, and just really thinking she's a bit silly, but he's just loving every bit of it, because he's so happy to see her happy, and just to, you know, to have that counterbalance to her somewhat, you know, although Tammy's a little bit of the same person, but there's these slight differences between the two where they seem like they would balance each other off really well. And I think this is something, like I said, this is a credit to the writers of the show, the producers of the show, just everyone. They've done such a bang up job with, you know, in this entire show. And then Dustin and Mr. Munson's talk about Eddie, and this was once again Dustin in this moment, the actor, he just does such a great job in just bringing out that true raw emotion and pulling us all in. And even Mr. Munson, him just talking about everything, about, you know, because at first he thought he was, you know, Dustin was going to be like, you need to take that down. We don't need this, you know, Satan worshiper or whatever. You know, just some completely biased bullshit. But it was just so well the way he played that out and how he gave him back Eddie's pig that he helped really save the town of Hawkins, and how that was just so much so important to his character and everything that was going on. How at those very moments he didn't run away. He really sat there and he told Mr. Munson that he was a hero. He wasn't just, you know, just not a bad kid, but he was a hero. He was so important to everything. He saved Dustin's life, but he saved truly everyone's life. And for him to for him to be so heavily maligned by everyone and everyone not really knowing the truth, it really was one of the very rare moments where I was like, we gotta rectify this somehow. We have to clear all of this up and clear Eddie's name, because he was such a beloved character. And I think that this is one of the things that they're going to do in season 5. I think it would be a great injustice to the character if they don't do this, which I think they probably, most likely, they will. And then there's Jonathan and Nancy's talk while fixing up Hopper's cabin. And we can see that the dynamic between the two of them is starting to really, really change now. It's really starting to unravel, and you can see that Nancy is starting to slowly but surely drift back to Steve. I don't have high hopes. I know we've said this basically every season for the last 2 seasons, but I don't have high hopes for Steve. I think he's really going to sacrifice himself in this final season, because he's always been the babysitter. He's I guess somewhat lived past his expiration date as far as characters on the show, but his character has become one of the most beloved characters. He's one of my favorite characters because he's so different in everything, in the way he's really being portrayed. So I really hope that they keep him around, but I don't know if that's going to be exactly what's going to happen. But this whole thing with Nancy and Jonathan, just them really pulling apart, and this, like I said, once again, this just is so true to true life and how things truly really happen. It's just not like all of a sudden we just break up and we're just not together. It's just like a slow pulling apart and just different interests, and Jonathan definitely has some different interests there, and Nancy is completely changing, and we can just see that unraveling and pulling apart. But I really enjoy their character arcs and what they're doing with them. I'm gonna take a brief break and I'll be right back.
Blankets and sheets.
and some clothes and some kids' toys.
Wow, it's already so organized. We appreciate that. Do you want a tax receipt form?
No, I don't think that we need one. Thank you, though. But is there anything else that we can do to help?
Okay, then we sort by age. We've got infants, girls, boys, men, women.
Oh, there's anything else? Two bed shoes.
I found another jar of peanut butter and it's crunchy stuff. Robin.
Hi.
What are you doing here?
I am making PB&Js.
Right, yeah, no, duh, of course. I am also making PB&Js, as it so happens.
Cool.
Hey, I'm sorry if that came out weird. What are you doing here? I didn't mean it like, what are you doing here? I just meant like, oh, what are you doing here? Like, wow, nice surprise. Great to see you.
I didn't take it as anything negative.
Okay, good. No, I'm sorry. My brain's just been a little frazzled lately, because...
Of everything.
Yeah, and Dan. It's my boyfriend. Well, was my boyfriend. He was visiting and took one look at all this, and let's just say it's not what he was envisioning for his spring break. So he was like, I'm out of here, back to Purdue, good luck, Vic. Okay, which ultimately, yeah, it's fine, and it's bordering on a good thing, because, I mean, he was really grating on me. I mean, he's the type of person who trashes Fast Times because it has no plot. I mean, as soon as he said that, I should have just ended things right there, and... Sorry. I'm so sorry. I am rambling about my dumb boyfriend when there are people out there suffering who need... food. And I have just made a peanut butter on peanut butter monstrosity. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like sometimes my mouth is moving faster than my brain, and it's like this runaway train, and I cannot seem to get it to stop no matter how hard I try. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
It's a gift.
Oh,
you're welcome.
For me?
Mm.
Oh, you really shouldn't have.
Oh, but I did.
Oh,
but I did.
I just don't even deserve it. I mean, thank you.
Early birthday.
Thank you so much.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Munson? I'm Dustin Henderson. Can we talk?
Can't imagine we got anything to talk about. My nephew is innocent. He's still missing. I'll put up as many posters as I need till he's found. Good day to you.
I was with him? I was with him when the earthquake hit.
Where is Eddie now?
I'm so sorry.
I wish everyone had gotten to know him. Really know him. Because they would have loved him. Mr. Munson. They would have loved him. Even in the end, he never stopped being Eddie. Despite everything. I never even saw him get mad. He could have run. He could have saved himself.
But he fought.
He fought and died to protect this town. This town that hated him. He isn't just innocent. Mr. Munson, he's a hero.
A total disaster.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit of a problem.
I mean, I get we gotta hide Supergirl and all, but this isn't exactly like a fortress of solitude, man. It's more like a fortress of grodiness.
Come on, guys, seriously. I've seen Mike's room look worse than this.
Aw, oh, brutal, dude.
Ah, see? Water still works. And voila. Cleaning supplies.
Like he's gathering mushrooms. He's a little on the eccentric side.
Oh, welcome to the club, right?
Yeah, welcome to the club. Hey, Nancy?
Yeah?
Sorry, I wasn't here.
Oh, I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of glad you weren't. I just mean, I'm glad you were with Mike and Will.
I'm glad you're here, too. Otherwise, who'd have been in charge? Steve.
He's actually grown up quite a bit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Hey.
Yeah?
Are we okay?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's hard. I feel like life keeps throwing things in the way of our big plans.
Yeah, it sure seems like that.
You think it's too late to throw saving the world on your college resume? Your application letter. Not that it matters at all anymore. But did it ever come?
No. No. Not yet. Says that she wasn't ready. And now she's starting to think he was right. That's crap. If it wasn't for her, if she hadn't left the lab, Max wouldn't be alive right now.
I know.
She's never lost before. Not like this.
She'll have another chance.
Let's hope not. Let's hope one is dead and rotting.
He's not. Now that I'm here, in Hawkins, I can feel him, and he's hurt, he's hurting, but he's still alive. It's strange knowing now who it was this whole time, but I can still remember what he thinks and how he thinks. And he's not going to stop. Ever. Not until he's taken everything and everyone. We have to kill him.
And we will. We will.
All right, I'm back. So this particular part of the episode is just one of my favorite parts, because there's so much going on and there's so much information just in these last moments of the episode that is just given to us. I mean it's just fast and furious. And there's a moment when Will tells Mike that he can still feel Vecna now that he's back in Hawkins. So this changes a lot. This changes pretty much everything. And he also says that, you know, it's been him all along. It wasn't the Mind Flayer, which I think this is a little bit of retconning. But, you know, of course I'm going to keep saying that right, because it doesn't go fully along with my theories. But anyway, it's not about me, it's about the podcast, right? So anyway, I think that this is one of the best moments, because we get this full circle of everything and him realizing everything that has been going on this entire time, and him just, you know, but it was a little bit sudden. I will say that, and I don't know if it was the way it was written or the way it was played. It was a bit sudden to say to say the least. But it was effective, and it worked pretty well. So at the end of the day, that's truly what it's all about. And Will at this moment, because the reason why I say it was so sudden was because just all of a sudden out of nowhere he just gets this look of fear on his face, and you know he gets the goosebumps on the nape of his neck, and we really can see him just turning on a dime in that very moment. I don't know if that was because the gates had been opened and we started to see this debris falling from the sky from the upside down, and there is a clear link between him and Vecna, and I can see him really going down a dark path once again, as like in season one, but now he has more information and he has a lot to grapple with. And I think that Will is going to be a very important part, definitely a big part in the final season of Stranger Things. And then Eleven tries to find Max in the void, but she can't. And this is another instance of her not winning in this moment. And the Empire has definitely struck back in this very moment, because she's at a loss in so many words, and she doesn't know exactly what she needs to do. But, because she has these newfound powers that we're starting to realize and figure out, but she hasn't figured any of that out either. So it's really hard to see her go through all these things and try to fully bring back Max in these circumstances, but she can't. And because she goes into the void and she's looking around and she can't find Max, it's complete darkness, there's nothing there. So I'm wondering if I know this has been floated around a little bit, this particular theory, but maybe Vecna still has her, because she didn't fully die, but he still has this curse over her. And I think this is going to be something that's going to really play out more in the final season of Stranger Things. And then we get one of the best moments that I really liked in this particular part of the episode, really in this season overall, because this is what we've been looking for, because these characters haven't seen one another at all, but there's Hopper and Eleven's warm embrace and just the emotion, the way this was played out and the way they are truly, truly caring for one another. And just seeing them just their embraces to one another, and it was just such a heavy moment, but it played out so true because it was so subdued, just Hopper's reaction. But I think a lot of that has to do with just what he had gone through, and Eleven showing emotion, but it, like I said, it was just so subdued. And I think that in reality, that's how a situation like that would play out, because she couldn't, Eleven couldn't believe that Hopper was there, but she never gave up, just as she had said. And Hopper was like, I know. It was almost like a Harrison Ford moment in A New Hope, in the very beginning, where he's talking to Princess Leia. And he basically says something, to that same effect. I know. And it's just so fun to see how they are really getting along with each other. When I say getting along, I'm talking about just the way they interact with one another and how they basically forgiven all of everything that had happened in season three, because they really had some contentions and they really didn't leave on the best of terms at the end of that. And she didn't know whether or not he was still alive, because as far as she'd known, he died while closing the gate with Joyce. And Joyce also in this moment is just, like I said, so subdued. But it played so much better in that moment, because I think that if they had gone over the top and so much emotion, maybe possibly it would have taken a little bit away from the entirety of the scene, and I don't think that would have worked as well. But you know, at this point we probably won't know. But I think that 11, Hopper, Joyce, just the whole crew, the whole gang, just really getting together and meeting again, it was one of the best parts of this episode. And then Will gets a chill at the back of his neck as the clouds start to get gray and debris starts falling from the upside down and starts to shower down. And we know that something big is coming. Something huge is on the horizon. And the whole temperature of the warm embraces and everything, all of that changes to something almost apocalyptic, right? And it's just so wonderful just to see these turns on a dime and just what they were seemingly experiencing in this moment. It was something bigger than all of them, and it's like now they are realizing something in bigger. And not only them, and what I loved about this particular scene is not only they were seeing this, but the whole town was seeing this. This was something different. And I guarantee you that, you know, because of the seeds that Jason sown throughout the entire season, you're going to have a lot of people thinking this is the gates of hell being opened because of him and all of this. And I'm just really interested to see how all of that is truly really going to play out. And then, of course, you know, like I said, just mentioned briefly, there was the entire town that comes out to see the debris falling. And everyone is just in awe as to what's going on. Even little Holly, little Miss Wheeler there with her mother Karen, is seeing this ash fall from the sky, or this, you know, debris. Don't know exactly what it is, but this debris falling from the sky, and she's seeing it snowing. And, you know, of course, Mrs. Wheeler, Karen, corrects her in that moment. But I'm just really afraid for what's going to happen with them and what's going to happen to a lot of our characters moving into this fifth season. Because we know as soon as we get into the fifth season, it's going to basically be balls to the wall, just nonstop action, as the Duffer Brothers have pretty much said. And as we know right now, there are going to be 8 episodes, and the episodes are not going to be as nearly as long as they were in this fourth season, but that could definitely change throughout the entire month of August. They were writing and they're doing some re-edits and some, you know, as far as the script goes. So they're going to be working on that, and they're going to start filming at the end of this year, beginning of this year. So there's going to be a lot of news going on, a lot of things that are going to happen. So I can't wait to get into and to cover a lot of that. But I think this is going to be one of the best seasons. And I can almost see, like, they said there's going to be this time jump because of the ages and everything. And I think we're going to see a time jump fast forward to where, you know, right after the event of when everything is falling from the upside down is basically colliding with the real world. I think we're going to get probably a 2-year jump. And there's going to be a lot that's going to go on, and we're going to see them basically where there's, you know, these upside down monsters are everywhere, these demogorgons, they're taking people out all over the place, and it's, you know, apocalyptic pretty much, to say the very least. So I'm really interested in seeing it almost like a Walking Dead type world, to where they have to really call in the forces. And that's why I say, this is why I think that that Kali will definitely be back along with maybe a couple others we haven't seen as much. But I just enjoyed this entire season. I really enjoyed it, and I'm so hoping to be back. I will be back in about 3 weeks, and I'll be covering a lot of these new movies, not necessarily new movies, but movies from the 80s. So that's going to be really fun to cover, and I can't wait to jump into all of that. But anyway, I will see you guys when I'm back in a couple of weeks to cover something a bit different. And like I said, when we come across some huge news from the Stranger Things world, I definitely will chime in here and there up until then. And of course, that will continue on even throughout the 80s movies episode. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I'll see you guys in the Upside Down.
Thank you. From the cradle bars comes a beckoning voice, a cinch spinning. You have no choice.